الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أرضيتم بالحياة الدنيا من الآخرة فما متاع الحياة الدنيا في الآخرة إلا متاع وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحب دنياه أضر بآخرته ومن أحب آخرته أضر بدنياه فآثروا ما يبقى على ما يفنى أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
My respected elders and brothers, in the early 1960s, there was a young alim from South Africa who had qualified in Darul Uloom Deoband. And after qualifying, he went up to his sheikh, Hazrat Sheikhul Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Khandelwi, Rahmatullah Ali, and he asked him for some advice, saying to him that, Hazrat, Alhamdulillah, I finished my studies formally in the madrasa, and now I'm coming back to South Africa. I want some advice from you on how I should work in my country. So the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali advised him, saying that mashallah, the people of South Africa, they have a lot of knowledge of deen. You find them attending the masjid. They want to make their children hafiz, alim. They go out in a path of Allah. But if there's a weakness that I find in the people of South Africa, and these are coming from the words of a very, very great alim and scholar, the likes of the Shaykhul Hadith, Maulana Zakaria Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, he says, if I find a weakness in the people of South Africa, then it's in effect in this aspect of them not understanding the concept of akhirat correctly. Not understanding the concept of akhirat correctly. So if you want me to advise you, I would advise you in this way, that go back and conscientize the people about the akhirat. Go and conscientize them about akhirat, speak to them about akhirat, bring the akhirat in front of them, so that they live their lives for the akhirat. So Alim says, when I came back home to South Africa, then I made this the theme of my life. And in every lecture of mine, every bayan of mine, every dars of mine, every lesson of mine, I would make sure that some aspect of akhirat I would discuss. And this alim was none other than the late Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Adam Sahab Rahmatullah Ali of Cape Town. And many of the older people that are here may remember that his bayans, when they would come out, one series of his would be 20, 30 cassettes. And one topic is about Jahannam, one topic is about akhirat, one topic is about the qabr. And he would conscientize people regularly on the importance of believing in the akhirat and preparing for the akhirat. Normally in a maktab, when a child enters the madrasa, then amongst the first things that the child is taught is his kalimas. He will learn imani mujmal, imani mufassal. And in imani mufassal, one of the things that he is taught is wal yawmil akhiri wal ba'si ba'd al maut. That one day there's a day that's going to come, which is called a day of qiyamah. But the entire world will be destroyed. And there's a life that is coming that is called a life after death. Where every person, after living his life in this world, he will once again have to stand before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his deeds. Everything that we have done, everything that we have said, every good deed that we have done, every sin that we have committed, a person will see all of this in the life of the hereafter. That is why a Muslim is a person who lives for the hereafter. He doesn't attach his heart to this dunya. It is mentioned in one hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Al-kayis man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut." A really intelligent person, in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that person who curbs his desires and he prepares for the life after death. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not saying an intelligent man is that person who gets the most amount of degrees, but the person with the most amount of alphabets before his name, or the person who's got the biggest bank balance, But the one who's invested his money in the most amount of properties, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-Kayyis, intelligent man is that person who prepares for the life after death. That he knows that death is staring in front of him. Death stares him in the face and is waiting for him. At any moment it can come and take our lives away. But are we prepared for this moment when the angel of death will come and take us away? Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah Mukarramah, he ascended a mountain that is called Mount Safa. When we go for Umrah, we go for Hajj, then we normally go for Safa Marwa. This mountain, Mount Safa, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the mountain. And then he called the people of the Quraysh, Ya ala Quraysh. And the people all came and they surrounded him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then spoke to them. And he says, Oh my people, oh the people of the Quraysh, if I had to say to you now that I'm standing here on the top of this mountain and behind me there is an enemy that is waiting to attack you, would you believe me in what I am saying? They said, Ya Rasulullah, you are that person who is as-sadiq and al-ameen. You are the most truthful and the most trustworthy person. Even the non-Muslims in Makkah all believe in what you are saying. And many of the non-Muslims were gathered there. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you believe that I am the most truthful, then I want to say something to you. That just as you are living in this world here, there is another life that is coming and that is a life of the hereafter. You have to prepare for this life of the hereafter, and that person who has iman, that person who has the kalima on his tongue, that person will be saved from the punishment of the hereafter. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the beginning of Islam was conscientizing the people about the life after death. Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about him in the Quran. He was a very great person, a very wise person. There's a whole surah that is revealed, Suratul Luqman, regarding the advices that he had given to his son. One of the advices that Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam gave to his son was that, oh my beloved son, turn your back towards the dunya and turn your face towards the akhirat. In other words, move towards akhirat with your back towards the dunya. Don't keep on looking towards the dunya, because every day you are moving closer and closer and closer to the akhirat, and you're moving further and further and further away from the dunya. Therefore, a person has to prepare himself for this life of the hereafter. Unfortunately, my respected elders and brothers, sometimes what happens to us is, in our commitment towards the dunya, or in our engrossment in the dunya, sometimes days pass, sometimes months pass, sometimes years pass, the word akhirat doesn't even pass through our ears. The word akhirat doesn't even come onto our tongues. We forget that one day we have to meet with Allah. We have to stand before Allah. We have to answer to Allah. This concept, this understanding that's supposed to be before our eyes at every moment of our lives, it somehow disappears. And for this, our ulama-i-kiram, Abu Zurgan al-Din, are speaking about the same thing. Just keep on talking and speaking about akhirat. Let not a day in our lives pass that we're speaking something or the other about akhirat. Otherwise what will happen is, a person's life will pass. A man will attend the janazah. He'll give ghusl to that body. He'll shroud that body. He'll carry the bier. He'll perform that janazah. He'll walk to the qabristan. He'll dust his hands off the sand of that grave. Not for a moment the thought of death will cross his heart. Because of his engrossment into dunya, so much he's involved in it, that the thought of death doesn't even come into his heart. Whereas this is something that we're supposed to be speaking about every single day of our lives. My respected elders and brothers, this is why Shaykhul Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he has written this kitab, Fazail al-Sadaqat. And perhaps Allah Ta'ala inspired his heart. Allah Ta'ala inspired his heart that the weakness in the ummah of this day is that our engrossment is too much in the dunya and we have become completely unmindful of the akhirat. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali wrote this kitab. It's translated as Virtues of Charity. But really this kitab, beginning to end, it discusses only about akhirat. And every day in our homes this kitab must be read. Alhamdulillah, now the Jamiatul Ulama has now retranslated the Fazail al-Sadaqat and made it extremely simple for day-to-day ta'lim. In many masjids also, from the minbar, daily ta'lim is taking place of this kitab. And it should be done in every single home, where we speak to our children about akhirat, so they realize that there's a direction in our lives. This is where we're moving. We're bringing the train back onto the tracks. The train is there, but it's off the track. We need to bring it back onto the track, and keep on speaking about akhirat. Once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst building Masjid al-Nabawi, whilst building the Masjid of in Medina Munawwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept on chanting these words out, Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhirah. Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhirah. Oh Allah, really there is no life besides the life of the akhirah. To explain and to conscientize the Sahaba kiram, that all the time remember, our life as a Muslim is the life of the akhirah. We live for the akhirah. This dunya is a day or two, and we are out of this world, as if we're sitting in a waiting room, as if we're sitting in a waiting room, and the glass doors are shut. Any time those doors will open, our turn will be called and we have to move in. Akhirat is waiting for us. How much have we prepared for our akhirat? How much are we ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My respected elders and friends, when hadith Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man ahabba dunyahu adarra bi akhiratihi. That person who loves the dunya, he's definitely going to cause harm to his akhirat. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ آخِرَتَهُ أَضَرَّ بِدُنْيَاهُ. And that person who loves the akhirat, then he's going to cause some harm to his dunya. فَآثِرُوا مَا يَبْقَى عَلَى مَا يَفْنَى. Give preference to that which is everlasting over that which is temporary. In the 30th juz of the Qur'an al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains one verse of the Qur'an, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. Allah Ta'ala is asking us a question, an important question. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Why are you giving preference to this worldly life? Why are you giving preference to this worldly life? وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. Whereas the akhirat is much better for you and everlasting for you. Allah Ta'ala is speaking about the akhirat over and over the Qur'an. If you speak, look at the theme of the Qur'an al-Kareem, you'll see from beginning to end, the entire Qur'an Sharif is filled with verses about akhirat. You open the first page of the Qur'an al-Kareem, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, to have yaqeen in the akhirat, to have that conviction in the akhirat. We read these verses, but this conviction has to come into our lives. This conviction has to come into our lives. The importance of us preparing for the akhirat. My respected elders and friends, this does not mean that a person has to totally divorce himself from the dunya and have nothing to do with the dunya. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, أَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبْ وَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَيْهِ. That do a moderate effort as far as dunya is concerned. Moderate effort, not a mad effort, not a crazy effort. That a person day and night is toiling only for dunya. Salah time comes, salah time goes. A man never sees the masjid because he's so busy with his work, he's so busy with his occupation that the dunya has consumed him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبْ. Moderate effort. A person does a moderate effort and then he places his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will give him more than he needs. One friend of mine is now in Isipingo. He had a shop. And the shop of his, alhamdulillah, was giving him enough business for which he could live a comfortable life. His rent was being paid. He was looking after his children quite well. Every second year he was buying a new car. Every year he's going for Umrah with his family. He's got no debts on his head. He's living a comfortable life. Now there was another opportunity came up, as you would see, another opportunity came up, another business, supermarket business. So he decided, let me also buy that shop. So ulama kiram told him that, you know what, Allah Ta'ala has taken care of all your needs. You got this business, alhamdulillah, you're spending your time in a masjid. Every now and then, 2.5 hours you're giving in a masjid. Jamaat is going for 3 days, you're going with the jamaat also. You've got the time, and Allah Ta'ala has taken care of all your needs. Why you want to tie yourself up with something else? But there's a sickness in the heart of man that's called greed. There's a sickness in the heart of man that's called greed, where nothing is enough. Never any amount is enough. A person doesn't know what's the meaning of contentment. He doesn't know where to draw the line. That now, alhamdulillah, I've got enough. My needs, I'm eating. How much more can I eat? How much more can I sleep? How much more can I live? But that greed in the heart of a man is just more and more and more and more. And there's no stop to it until the sand of the grave fills his mouth. He forgets about Allah. He forgets about akhirat. He forgets about his investment in the akhirat. Now he's just chasing and chasing and chasing. Now he bought this other shop. And now he realized that the shop was sinking. So now he's trying to pick the shop up, but because it's sinking, so he's taking the money he's earning from this shop and he's pumping it into this shop. So this shop, as it's sinking, he started sinking the other shop as well. Both are sinking. Now he can't be in this business at the same time. So this business sunk. But who are you to blame for this? Blame yourself. Because when Allah gave you and He gave you enough, it was never enough. That greed took you to get more and more and more. When a person's focus is on dunya, then this is what happens. A person earns and he earns and he earns only for dunya. A man's attention has to turn towards akhirat. It has to turn towards Allah. We have to understand the purpose of our life. Once Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali was going on a journey and he boarded a train. The station master recognized him and said, "Maulana, you don't have to buy a ticket. Just sit down here. It's okay. You don't have to pay for the ticket." So Maulana told him, "Since when you're the owner of the train station that you can discount the ticket on my behalf?" He said, "It's okay. I'm in charge here." Maulana told him, "You're in charge. You're not the owner of the train station." So, and besides that, the next journey, the next station that we're going to stop in, I need to board another train from there and go to another station. The station master says, "Okay, Maulana, I'll phone that person on the other side and I'll tell him that you are coming. He should allow you to get in. I know him very well." So Maulana smiled at him and he says, "And from that station that we're going to reach, the third station, there's another station that I have to go to." So that station master looked at Maulana and he said, "Maulana, there's no other station from here. That's the last station. There's no station after this." Maulana told him, "There's one more station, the station of the Akhirat. I can bluff you here and walk in without paying for a ticket. How am I going to bluff Allah? How will I stand before Allah?" When that consciousness of Akhirat is not before a person is prepared to do anything. He's prepared to go to any level because he doesn't have that consciousness that one day I have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes a person is thinking his child is going to the zoo. So there's a sign that says that children under 12 years is free. And he's got a 13-year-old that looks like a 10-year-old. So you'll nudge him and you tell him when you're going there, you just tell him you're 10 years. So that person will ask him, "What's your age?" He says, "I'm 10. But he's 13. That person will ask him to produce his birth certificate. You tell him what I go through. As you go through, you've got a smile in your face. You're chuckling to yourself. "I just made it, I bluffed that person. Wallahi, you sold your iman for a lousy 50 bucks. Because you forgot that you have to stand before Allah. And you have to answer before Allah. Person buys a car. Recently when Ali was telling me, he jumped in a person's car. And he saw, "Hey, this person's car, he's got a brand new car. It's only 150 kilometers on the odometer." So he asked him, "It's quite a brand new car you got." He said, "Well, I just disconnected the odometer. So when I sell the car again, I'll get a better price for it." So you're lying, you're deceiving, you're cheating. You got more money for the car. But how are we going to answer by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Respected elders and friends, this consciousness of akhirat, we've forgotten it. We forgot that we have to stand before Allah. We forgot about this, that we have to die one day and we have to sleep in our qabr ourselves. How much of preparations have we made for the akhirat? Our ulama kiram, they explain a few things, few very important things with regards to conscientizing ourselves with regards to akhirat. Number one, is they speak about the importance of thinking about death. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Mutu qabla an tamutu," die before you really die. The meaning of this hadith is that keep on thinking about death, that I have to sleep in my qabr. Attend janazas, go for ghusals, shroud that person, wash that dead body, and think about it, that how this person is being washed, and how his body is on this, tomorrow I'll have to be there. The second thing our ulama kiram teach us is, they say that visit the qabristan regularly. And amongst the sunan of the day of Jumu'ah, one of the things that we should do is visit the qabristan. Go there to the qabristan and see, there's a time in your life, as you progress and as you age, you know more people in the graveyard than the people in the masjid. Because all those people that were with you, that this is now, this is my father, and this is my grandfather, and this is my uncle, and this is my wife, this is my son, this is my sister, this is my brother. These are all the people that were with me yesterday. They are all sleeping in a qabr today. Tomorrow I'll have to also sleep in a qabr. And by visiting a qabristan, you'll keep on reminding yourself about the akhirat. And the third thing which I mentioned a little earlier also, is the importance of reading this kitab, Fazail-e-Sadaqah, daily. In all our akabir, all our ulama, they're insisting on this kitab, that this kitab must be read in our homes. Because this kitab speaks about the importance of akhirat. And the more we conscientize ourselves, the more we speak about it to our children, the more this aspect of akhirat will come into our minds. My respected elders and friends, it was very famous regarding the people of Madina Munawwara. Hazrat Maulana Badri Alam Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to speak about this very often. The people of Madina Munawwara were such that when they would reach a certain stage in their lives, and you would quote the age of 40, say generally when they would reach the age of 40, then they would close up everything. And they would say, "Enough we've done for the dunya. Enough we've done for the dunya. Now we have to start preparing for the akhirat." Allah Ta'ala knows at what age we have to start. But really we start off from the time we are little children. That start preparing for the akhirat. That is our everlasting home. According to the amount we will invest in the akhirat, that is how much we will enjoy. The short life that Allah Ta'ala has given us, respected elders and friends, is too valuable for us to waste it in useless things. Let us take this valuable life of ours and spend it in the ibadat, in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in investing for the akhirat. And in this way, inshallah, we'll earn ourselves great sawab and great reward. May Allah Ta'ala be pleased with all of us. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.